This week is Parshat Ekev. And Parshat Ekev, in the context of Sefer Dvarim, carries with it not exactly an anomaly, but something that's of great interest. As I've talked about a number of times, starting from the beginning of from the middle of Etchanan, we have Moshe Rabbeinu's presentation of the Aseret HaDvarim. There's repetition of it with those changes. And then from then on, all the way until the middle of Ki Tavo, which is the bulk of Sefer, the vast majority of Sefer Dvarim, is Moshe presenting mitzvot. And what I pointed out was that the mitzvot seem to follow the outline of the Aseret HaDibrot. So the first bunch of mitzvot are about how to properly relate to God. The second bunch are about Avodah Zarah. The third is about God's name, etc. What's interesting is that towards the beginning of this whole presentation, where Ekev, where really the focus on Ekev and the beginning of Re'eh is on Avodah Zarah, and getting rid of Avodah Zarah, and Ekev, one of the lowlights, shall we say, in Moshe's story, is the story of the Egel, is we have the mitzvah, Birkat HaMazon, in the middle. So I want to take 2 weeks, really, today and next session, next week, to look at the mitzvah, Birkat HaMazon. That's why it's a long handout, because we're going to look at the first two pages today, and then the other two next week in Mirtz Hashem. So there wasn't even room for your questions, but the questions will walk themselves through. The Parsha, Sam, you had a question.
You said
Aseret HaDibrot. Right, Aseret HaDibrot is a rabbinic term. Aseret HaDvarim is the term the Torah itself uses. Right? It never calls it Dibrot, calls it Dvarim, but that's a difference between rabbinic and biblical grammar as opposed to meaning. Right. The mitzvah Birkat HaMazon comes in an interesting context, because if you were to ask the average person on the street, what do you do at the end of a meal? So we bench. Why do we bench? We want to thank God. What are you thanking God for? What would you answer? The food. You just ate. You want to thank God for the food. It's not nice. Right? And it's proper hakarat hatov, proper appreciation for, right? Proper etiquette. However, if you look at the mitzvah Birkat HaMazon, it comes in a different context. The beginning of Parshat Ekev tells us that if we follow the mitzvot, God will bless us, etc., and God will successfully bring us to the land. Moshe is giving a farewell speech. So Bnei Yisrael are about to come to the land. You will successfully come to the land, and now we hear about the land. Ki Adonai Elohecha v'yachal eretz tova. God is bringing you to a good land. Here you have the translation. Eretz nachalei mayim ayanotu tomot yotzim babika v'har. Now, at the end of Parshat Ekev, that feature of the land, that it is a land of mountains and valleys and a land of rain, as opposed to Egypt that always has the Nile, is brought as a distinct piece of Eretz Yisrael in which the relationship between the people and God becomes intensified, because they're always in need of God's grace with the rain. Eretz chita usora v'gefen utena v'rimon. Eretz zeitshem u'dvash, the seven famous species with which Eretz Yisrael is praised. Eretz asher lo miskenu tocha b'alechem lo techsar kol ba. Eretz asher avanei barzel ma'arei atachsov nechoshen. Again, the translation is below. And this passage, which, if you notice, because I put them in green, has the word Eretz seven times, marking it very clearly as the milah mancha, the key word in this parasha. It's about the land. And that's clear because God is bringing you to the land. We hear about the fruit of the land. We hear about the topography of the land. We hear about all the fact that there is nothing missing in this land. And it concludes with ve'achalta v'savanta, which means properly, when you will eat and you be satisfied, uverachta et Adonai Elohecha, you should bless God, al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach, which means, by the way, Birkat HaMazon is really about what? It's about Eretz Yisrael. It's about giving, one second. It's about giving God thanks for this great land that you are now enjoying by eating the fruit of,
so
and the results of.
If you're outside Israel and you eat the food, you don't have to thank God.
So one could make the argument that Birkat HaMazon, in a sense, is a mitzvah tuli abaretz. It's a mitzvah that's land dependent. And then chutz laretz we b'cheyav midrabanan, right? Whether we only as a kind of a memory piece, kind of extending it from the Rashi that shows up later in this parsha. We don't say that. We don't take that approach. But then again, we can be very thankful for the great land that God gave us, even though we're here, And even though we ate produce of Chutz La'aretz, we're still giving thanks to, although it is an extension, it's not the direct thing. And you're right, perhaps Birkat HaMazon in Eretz Yisrael from Israeli food is the epitome of what it is. Yeah, Jason.
When you say Chaptavis about the Uve Rachta, is that a grammatical change to the Uve, which tells you that that's a consequence of the first film?
It's unclear, because you could read it three different ways. You could read it Ve'achalta, meaning if you eat, Vesavata, and if you are satisfied, then you should bless. Or you could then say Ve'achalta.
As opposed to Ve.
No, I understand. Oh, no, that.
You never say Ve'achalta, right?
You can't, right. But before Vav Mempe. Right. Oh, you're just asking about the U versus Vav.
Well, I was just wondering if that's.
No, it has to be Uve Rachta. Another way to read it would be Ve'achalta, would be there's a command. I'm bringing you to this land. There's the land. You must eat. You must become satisfied. And you must bless. And now Sam asked a third question, which is, what if you eat and you're not satisfied? Right? Which is why Chazal say, what happens if you eat a minimal amount of eating, which is not satisfactory, for instance, a kazayit? Because we say throughout halacha, the shiur kazayit is considered achila, and yet it's not kidei sviya. It's not satisfying. Right, and there we say Birkat HaMazon may be derabanan. It may be that until you actually have kedei sviya, you are only chayav midrabanan and only chayav deraita when you've had kibetza or whatever. However, we're going to define it. Now, a couple of ancillary psukim that are strewn throughout Tanakh that are going to impact on the way we develop Birkat HaMazon. Because let's stop at this point and be, and I say it with air quotes around me, Karaite. And you want to do God's will, and you read this pasuk, what do? You come to the land, you eat the fruit of the land, and what do?
You say the prayer.
Which is what? What's the prayer? It says right here, V'rachta ata Adonai l'recha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. So what are you going to do?
Bless the land.
No, you're going to bless God for the land, which means, what are you going to say? You just had a meal. The meal is from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. What are you going to say?
Maybe there's no formula.
Okay, but what would the intent be? Forget the formula. What would the intent be? We're going to talk about that next week, the formula.
No,
the
formula.
No, I wouldn't. You wouldn't, because what does it say? You wouldn't say.
Land.
You would say, thank you, God, for this land. You might say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Olam, Al Haaretz Ve'al Mazon. Al Tzedavah, right? You might. Interestingly, Chazal developed something much bigger than that. Right? So I want to show you a few ancillary psukim. And then in source 7, we're going to see how these start to come together. And on the back page, we'll see two sugyot in the 7th chapter of Brachot that bring them together. And that's what we'll do today. And then some of us wash, so we'll be able to actually act on it. Okay. When Moshe, at the beginning of Parshat Vetchanan this past week, told everybody that he prayed to God to be able to come and see the land, because God said, you can't cross over, he said, Ebran na ve'ere et ha'aretz hatova. I want to see this good land, which should remind us of what God just said. You thank God for the good land. And then, Asher be'ever ha'yardein, so the other side, ha'har ha'tov hazeh ve'halvanon. Now, what's ha'har ha'tov hazeh ve'halvanon? So the easiest answer would be to say, the mountain he's referring to is the Levanon. The only problem is that it wouldn't be ha'har ha'tov hazeh ve'halvanon. So what other mountain is there? So what are the mountains, if you're in Jordan, and you're looking, you're saying, God, please let me cross over and see this good mountain and the Levanon. So this good mountain isn't the Levanon. What other mountains are there?
Hermon.
What?
Not the Golan.
Yerushalayim.
So it could be the Hermon, but you would probably associate that with the Levanon, even though it's a different range. Right? What else?
Yerushalayim.
So maybe you would think about the mountain range that, of course, is the cradle of our history, which is the mountain range of Har Yehuda and Har Ephraim, which starts in Hebron and ends in Shechem.
Well,
all right? That's a mountain range, which, you know, when you go from Beersheba, you go up the hill to Drom Har Hebron, go to Hebron. From Hebron all the way to Shechem, you are several thousand feet up in the air, above sea level. Right? Until you then descend into the Amek. Shalim's in the middle of that. So that whole range. Maybe. Okay, next pasuk. Seeming to have nothing to do with this. In Tehillim, Perek Lamed Dalet, a very famous chapter. We say it every Shabbat morning and Yom Tov morning. It's one of the Abbas Sederian acrostics in Tanakh. right? Gadlu l'Adonai iti, the Gimel Pasuk. What does it mean, Gadlu l'Adonai iti? How do we translate that? Gadlu, Gadlu. What tense is Gadlu? Is it past, perfect, what is it?
Commanding.
It's a command, imperative. Gadlu, and who are you speaking to? You're speaking to one or two? Gadlu.
Plural.
Plural. So you're speaking to at least two people. Gadlu l'Adonai iti. Make God, you all, you two, make God great with me. Which means there's three people there. And together we will raise his name up. A variation of that sentiment shows up here in Sefer Dvarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu begins his song, he starts by saying, Kishem Adonai, ki here means when. Kishem Adonai Akra, when I call out God's name, Havu, what's Havu? Again, imperative, again, plural. You all give Godel Eloheinu, greatness to God. Again, three people, one person calling, another two person people answering, and together, they're raising up and elevating God. All right, two more psukim here that, again, at this point seem to have no connection with each other. At the end of the Brit of Har Sinai, after Moshe Hashem gives all the mitzvot and mishpatim, he says the following: I'm going to bring into the land, you're going to be successful, I'm going to slowly wipe out the animals there, the wild animals that would hurt you, so that they, you know, and the enemies, so that the wild animals don't take over, all that beautiful stuff. V'alvaratem, et Adonai Eloheichem. You will worship God. Uveirach et lachmacha et memecha. What will God do? He will bless your food and water, essentially. And I will get rid of any diseases. Okay, so God's going to bless you. Very nice. This seems to have nothing to do with anything that we're talking about. We're connected. And the last one is really out of left field.
Well, you said before that land has to do with the relationship with God to bring water to sustain him.
Sure, but now we're going to see this in a trickier way. God is, among other things, a shadchan. God matches people together. God brings people together. God has all sorts of ways of bringing people together. The people came to Shmuel and said, we want a king. Shmuel was upset, but God said to him, you go tell them, I'll get you a king, right? I'm making long story very, very short. And Shmuel says to everybody, go back home, I'll get you a king. In the meantime, what happens is there's a fellow named Shaul. And Shaul is the one that God wants to become the king, at least in the meantime. So Shaul goes off wandering looking for his father's donkeys. After a while, not having found the donkeys, Shaul says to his lad, we better go home because father's going to start worrying about us. The lad says, wait a second, there's a seer in this town. Let's go and see him, and he'll tell us where we're going. And Shaul says, we don't have anything to bring him. You have to bring him a tribute. So I found a tribute, have a quarter of a shekel. Okay, so they go up there, and they are about to go find Shmuel, which, of course, is God bringing the two of them together. So that Shmuel doesn't have to go find the king, but the king doesn't have to go say, hey, please anoint me. Instead, please help me find my donkeys. And that's how it plays out. Shaul and his lad are about to go up to the town of Ramah, where Shmuel lives. And they stop, and there's girls outside who are fetching water, which is what girls do in the biblical world. They go out of the town, and they fetch water.
Seems to be the shut-off place.
Somebody I knew once referred to it as the famous singles well of Bereshit. Right. But that when they come, the girls say the following. Kevoachem ha'ir kein timtzu'un oto. Okay, they said, when you get to the city, you'll find him there. Beterem yaldeha bamata, just before he goes up to the bama, which is the highest place of the city, where they offer korbanot. There's no Beit HaMikdash, there's no Mishkan. You offer korbanot in your own town. Lecho, ki lo yochal ha'amad bo'o. Nobody will eat till he comes. Meaning, they're going to wait for him. This happens to me often Shabbos afternoon. I'm running late to Shir. People are coming outside and say, oh, good, we know we're not late. Right? So they're waiting for Shmuel. Ki hu yivarech ha'zevach. What does that mean? He will bless the zevach. Meaning, they can't eat before he blesses the zevach. Acharechen yochlu akruim, then all the people there will eat, and then, etc. And now you can go find him. Right? Again, this pasuk seems to have nothing to do with anything. Now let's start getting into it. Start with the Tosefta. The Mishnah does not say anything about the source of Birkat HaMazon. It just says you have to say Birkat HaMazon. So Shashach Lukachar Chayvin L'Zamein. The Tosefta in Masachet Brachot, source 7, says Birkat HaMazon min HaTorah. Birkat HaMazon is from the Torah. By the way, what brachot do we have that we're obligated from the Torah to say? So Birkat HaMazon, what else? What other brachot does the Torah obligate us to say? There's one that should be very obvious to you. It's right there. The words are in the Torah. Birkat HaMazon, the words aren't in the Torah. These, the words are in the Torah.
Trying to think of brachot. Ishmael's not a brachot.
Not at all. Would Leonard Nimoy be a good hint?
What?
Leonard Nimoy? Brachat Kohanim. Right? Brachat Kohanim. There, the words are in the Torah. According to the Ramban, Birkat HaTorah is from the Torah also. The bracha we say every morning. Birkat HaTorah. Okay. Birkat HaMazon min HaTorah Shenamar. V'achalta v'savata v'erachta. Now watch. Please follow. V'achalta v'savata u'verachta. Zu Birkat HaZimun. So according to this Tosefta, when it says uverachta, what it means is ki'ilu, you all bless God as a unit. And so Birkat HaZimun is bringing the people together as a unit.
Do women use that as a support for them?
There's nothing new with women or men here. Here's what it says. Uverachta et Adonai Elohecha. That's the next part of the Pasuk. Zu bracha rishona. What's bracha rishona? The one that ends Hazan et Hakol. Right? You're blessing God. You're thanking God. Al ha'aretz, what's that? Zu birchat ha'aretz. What's birchat ha'aretz? No delacha, which ends with what words? Al ha'aretz v'al ha'mazon. Right? Hatova. Now this is a trick. Zu Yerushalayim. How'd that become Yerushalayim? V'chein hu omer ha'har ha'tov hazeh. So how do they interpret ha'har ha'tov hazeh in verse 2?
Yerushalayim.
And so therefore, when it says, Al ha'aretz ha'tova, ha'tova is referring to Yerushalayim, and therefore we have to make a bracha of Yerushalayim. Asher natan lach, what's that? Zah tova mitiv. Now, the way they're reading it, as follows. What?
Is that ene yechasarena?
Yeah. So now, so ha'tova mitiv then becomes as follows. How are we reading the pasuk? Let's go back to the pasuk in big print in source 1. V'achalta v'savata uverachta. So v'achalta v'savata is not the command, it's the condition. V'uverachta, you are going to bless. That's a zimun.
But how does that become more than one person?
So the way I'm understanding what the Tosefta did, although I don't know, is that it's reading to a group and it's saying uverachta in the singular. The idea is bringing a group together into the singular. Zimun ties everything together to one.
Have the command to bench on an individual basis?
Good question. Good question.
Damn, I'm with you.
All right? Uverachta, you're not going to get anywhere with it. Good luck. All right?
Well, you're already out of Israel, and now I got this.
Uverachta et Adonai Elohecha, blessing God. That's independent of the lamb. That's where you started before, saying you bless God for the food. You're blessing God, right, who feeds you. Al ha'aretz, that's easy. And then they're saying ha'tova now becomes an allusion to Yerushalayim. Based on Pasuk 4, Pasuk 2. What's Asher Natan Lach? So the way that they're reading it midrashically is, for everything he gave you. Which means, you're thanking God for his feeding the world, you're thanking God for the land, you're thanking God for Yerushalayim, and you're thanking God for everything. And that's the four brachot. By the way, that would mean that all four brachot of Birkat HaMazon are Doraita, exactly. Not so simple. Turn the page. Turn the page. That's where it ends. That's what it was at the end of it. What?
Why is this not Zaman Grava? You finished eating, and at that time you have to bake the...
Good. So the Gemara and Brachot ask a similar question, because the Mishnah tells us that women are equally obligated in Birkat HaMazon, and ask the question, which is, duh. Yeah. Obviously, you got Birkat HaMazon, and they say, oh, because meal times are more or less set, and it brings the pasuk in Shmot Tet Zayin. B'teit Adonai lachem ba'erev basar lachol ba'boker lechem lisboa. You eat meat at night, bread in the morning. I might think it's like Shazwan Grama. Not because you have to bench when you eat, but because eating times are like set times. That's what they're thinking is. That's a quick, you know, a quick disposal. We get rid of that very quickly. All right. I want to just show you this somewhat long piece. But it's going to, I'm doing it, now that we've seen the psukim, it's actually going to go very quickly. We're going to see how all of this folds together. All right, we're going to start. It's all on Brachot, the beginning of the seventh parak. Amar of Nachman. Now you see I haven't read because the color coding I've always used is red is for Memrot, which is statements made by what we call Amoraim, and blue is for Mishnayot and Braitot, which is made by Tanaim. Okay. Moshe tikein liYisrael berchatazan. Interesting. Rav Nachman says that Moshe is the one who established Birkat Hazan. When? B'sha'ashi arad lam man. Meaning, before we got the Torah, when the man started falling, Moshe said after eat the man, you got to thank God for feeding you. Nothing about the land, nothing about Yerushalayim, nothing about anything else. Right? Yoshua tikein lahem Birkat Haaretz. Yoshua established the second bracha when? When they came into the land. Came to Chesul Haaretz. David uShlomo tiknu bonei Yerushalayim. The Birkat Yerushalayim was established by David and Shlomo. David tiken al Yisrael melchav Shlomo Yerecha, and Shlomo tiken al Bayit Hagadol Hakadosh. Makes a lot of sense, right? Who do you think was mitaken uvenei Yerushalayim? Think about that problem. We're going to develop that next week. Hatov v'hametiv biyavne tiknuha. Now, what does l'taken here mean?
To make it
part of the curriculum. Right, exactly, to establish it. Which means that up until that time, didn't exist. So Moshe comes along and says, you know what, we have to thank God for the food. Hazan atak alam. Yoshua says, now that we've come into the land, we have to add a component of the land. David and Shlomo then come along and say, we have to add a special component for the Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. And then, atov meitiv biyavne tignua, keneged harugei beitar.
But does that make it to a writer, or does that make it...
Good question. How do we read this? It sounds like, from this piece, that all of Birkat HaMazon is Durabanan, and that as things progressed, different great leaders added more things for us to thank God for every time we eat.
Actually, what's interesting is, but in order for them to add it, they have to go to the Torah for the source.
Where they go to the Torah?
Because each one is saying...
We're just saying with events. No source. We're saying events. Moshe is there.
They're tying it back to the pasuk.
They're not in here. There's no pasukim in here.
But they already know about the Tosefta.
Well, but the Tosefta may be operating independently.
Well, that's...
And take a look at this. This piece by Rav Nachman doesn't seem to be addressing sources. It seems to be addressing events. But if you read it straightforward, it sounds as if up until Yoshua's time, people said one bracha after eating. After Yoshua's time, they had two brachot to say. And for the entire period of settlement, up until David conquers Yerushalayim, there's two brachot to mention. What are the words of the brachot? We're not even getting into that at all. Right?
Would you assume that Rav Nachman knew about the brisa?
Yes, but it doesn't mean that he agrees. I mean, maybe he may have a different take.
What was the last sentence in this?
Okay, good. So now, Haruge Beitar. This is a fascinating piece. Because you would think, Hatova Mitiv. Gives us all this great stuff. You would think, if it was about a historic event, it would be done when we rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, when we won the Maccabean War, something. Instead, it's identified with being a bracha that was created in Yavneh. This is Yavneh 2, by the way. Remember, we're in Yavneh twice. In Yavneh, we exiled, we came back to Yavneh after Beitar, which means around the year 140-145 CE, after the destruction of the fort of Beitar, because according to the tradition, the Romans only allowed us to come into Beitar and bury the dead 2 years later, and we found that nobody had decomposed, and we were allowed to bury them. And said, "Otawa yom shi nuha uge Beitar likvura tignu biyamna tov etiv." And according to some traditions, that happened on Tu B'Av, right? Hatov shelo isrichu v'etiv shi nuha likvura. Right, the great miracle that they didn't decompose and that we were finally given the right to bury them.
Right.
Exactly. Very, very strange. Good. So now let's see the fuller piece. This is going to go very quickly because we have all the pieces together. That's all the background. Tana Rabbanan. We got a brighter. Seder Birkat HaMazon Kachu. Bracha Rishona Birkat HaZan. HaZan Ata Olam Kulo. Shnia Birkat HaAretz. Lashit Bonei Yerushalayim. Revi'it HaTov HaMitiv. Okay. That's just telling you what to do. Not telling you where it's from, why, when, or anything. Uv'Shabbat matchil b'nechama u'misayim b'nechama. Interesting, and the Vilna Gaon actually has this in the Siddur. What's the first word of the third bracha of benching? Al Aretz V'Amazon?
Rachem.
The Vilna Gaon says that what you say on Shabbat is actually Nachamenu. Not Rachem, but Nachamenu. And he ends with Bonei Yerushalayim, or maybe Menachem Tzion or Bonei Yerushalayim, something
where
of that sort.
Where does the Nach come from, Rachem Nach?
What?
Where does the Nach come from that some people say?
But he's saying Nachamenu instead of Rachem.
No, I'm saying Rachem.
Some to the various Nuschot, not our issue. In the middle of this section, you mentioned Kiddushat Hayom, which is the sanctity of Shabbat, right? Just like we do with all the special days. He says you can mention Shabbat in any of the last three brachot. All right, good. So now Tana Rabbanan. Minayin the brachat hamazon min haTorah. Now this should look familiar. How do we know that you have to bench from the Torah? Shenemar v'chalta v'savata v'rachta zubirchat hazan. Not like the Tosefta. Zimun is not here. V'chalta v'savata v'rachta zubirchat hazan. Et Adonai Elohecha zubirchat hazimun. So they reversed it. Al ha'aretz zubirchat ha'aretz ha'tovah zimun ishalayim v'chein omer ha'tovah zimun zav avanon. Same thing we had. Shatam v'cha zu ha'tov ha'meitiv, which sounds like it's all Doraita, by the way. All I know is I have to bless God after eating. Who says I have to bless God before eating? Hamarta kal v'chomer, which is shu savem v'varech shu ra'ibel kol shekein. When you're stuffed, you have to thank God. Certainly, you should thank God when you're still hungry, which is a very interesting kal v'chomer. It could go the opposite way, and we play it the opposite way in another sugya. Rebbe omer v'achalta v'savato v'rachta zubir chatazan. Al v'chata zimun. Where do we get it from? Migadlu l'Adonai iti nafka. Where do we get zimun from?
I'm confused. What is using zimun to mean?
Zimun means an ivarach shachal mishalo, the invitation by one person to join. Now, by the way, you have to remember that Berchat HaMazon essentially is said by one person. And he invites everybody in the Baruch Shachal Mishol, and they say Baruch Shachal Mishol Tochino, and he says benching out loud, and they say Amen. The Shulchan Aruch says very clear, that's how benching should be done. Right? So that's kind of the reference, the setting that they have. So he says, Zimun is not in the Torah. Zimun comes in this Pasuk in Tehillim. Al ha'aretz u'b'chat ha'aretz, ha'tovah zimun shalayim, ha'tov meitiv yavne tiknua, and the Chorav, etc., etc. Now, L'charav, l'fanav minayin, how do I know I have to bless God before eating? So he doesn't like the kal v'chomer. What does he, watch what he does. Asher natan l'cha, meaning, misha natan l'cha. You have to thank God from the minute he gave it to you. You had the food in front of you. You have to thank God. Not just for what he gave you after you ate it. Rabbi Yitzchak omer enot tzarich. He says, I got another pasuk. Harei omer uverach et lachmecha vet memecha. Remember that pasuk? Al tikrei uverach ela uvarech. You have to bless God for your food. It's turning, he will bless your food, you have to bless him for the food. When's it called lachem? Well, it ain't called lachem anymore. That's called finished. Right? It's lachem before you eat it. And they quotes the whole long pasuk about the girls telling Shaul that they can go up and see Shmuel because Shmuel yivarech hazevach. So what do we have here? Just I want to put this all together in a temporary, because we're going to finish next week, in a temporary package. What do we have here? Birchat HaMazon is a given. Right? Let's see what we might have a solution. Birchat HaMazon is a given. Right? What are the components of Birchat HaMazon that seem to be an absolute given in all of these sugyot? Hazan, Al Haaretz, and Yerushalayim. Everybody seems to agree, no question, that that's all from the Torah. There is a disagreement about whether or not the fourth bracha is from the Torah or not. Right?
Hato mitiv.
Right. Right. And Zimun also seems to have this kind of amorphous place. So what is it that everybody's starting with as an assumption? It's a phenomenal piece when we just take a minute to look into it. Every sugya. Nobody suggests that only thanking God for the food is Doraita. And thanking God for the land or anything else is lesser. Everybody agrees that the whole thing is Doraita. Why? So I want you to think about what the structure of the three brachot is. What's the first bracha? What do you say in that first bracha? And by the way, the wording of it, lots of discussion. We're going to get into some of that next week. What is the essential mood of the first bracha? What are you doing?
World creation.
Yeah. What are you doing when you say that first bracha? Are you requesting? Are you thanking? What are you doing?
Gratitude.
You're benching.
But what are you doing? Give me an English word. You're acknowledging. You're praising. You're saying, God, you are amazing. You created this amazing world, and you feed everybody.
Right.
I had a story that I have to tell you, because it's an unbelievable story. Many, many years ago when I was in camp, I was trying to use a different model for education. So instead of the teachers teaching, I was working with counselors and have the counselors do the teaching, and I was overseeing it. And we did something interesting is that at camp, a lot of the kids weren't benching. So he figured if we could make some cute hand movements for benching, they'd pick it up, they'd bench. So this group was in charge of Birchat Hazan. And I had, you know, they divided Birchat Hazan by sentences and you figure come some hand movements. So I'm having discussions about it. And I was brought in by a counselor and said, you got to hear this question. The counselor himself asked the kids, and this is in the late 80s, so it was right after the whole USA for Africa and the whole famine thing going on. And the counselor said, how can we say Hazanat Olam Kulo B'Tuvo when there's a famine? The kid, a nine-year-old kid, said, God feeds the world. There's a distribution problem. It's a phenomenal. And it was absolutely right. Because remember, all the thing that USA for Africa, all that stuff got hijacked and sold from
guns.
But again, it's a distribution problem. Right? So we praise God for feeding the world. What do we do in the second bracha? What's the mood? The mode of the first bracha is praise. What's the mode of the second bracha? The first word gives it away.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanking is not the same as praise. Praise is, I'm looking at your amazing creation and I'm extolling it. Thank you is, I have personal gratitude for something you've done for me or for us. And we list a whole bunch of things that God has done for us. He's given us the land. He's given us the Torah. He's given us the Brit. He's all of these things, and we thank him for it, and that's thanking for the land. What's the essence of the third bracha?
Well, you say rachim is mercy.
Which means?
Mercy.
It is request. You're beseeching God to protect. And by the way, when Yerushalayim was built, and when there was a Beit HaMikdash, it wasn't like that wasn't a request. It was a request. Protect Yerushalayim. Right? In other words, the mode of that is always request, which means, listen to this again. Praise, thanks, request. What does that sound familiar from? It sounds familiar from Shemona Esrei. Right? The three components of Shemona Esrei are praise, thanks, request, except in a different order. Why? Because in Shemona Esrei, the essential thing you're doing is requesting of God. You're coming to God pleading. And so therefore, sitting in the middle is request. That's what the corner is, cornerstone of it is. You always start with praise. And then you get to what you're really there for, request. And then you say thank you for what you've got. What do we do in benching? Why are we benching? We're benching because we're thankful. Benching is not about beseeching. It's about thanks. So therefore, we always start with praise. Praise always starts. Then we thank. But then we request. So why do we request?
For the next meal.
We don't. We don't ask. We don't. We sort of do a little bit. Zonin upon the seinu, correct.
I mean, not to take
but why is request always thrown in there? So I'll give you, I'll give you an example why. And then we'll, you know, we'll suspend it for a week. I want you to imagine a couple who are married many years, very much in love with each other, and they both work for different stock companies, different investment firms. And he makes 100 calls a day, she makes 100 calls a day. And, you know, they make a call, so if they catch somebody that they know, say, how are you, how's the life? And then they immediately go into business, very good, thank you, okay, we'll transfer this amount over, and boom, 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 finished. Once in a yovel, he calls, and it happens to be his wife is the one who answers. So what happens? How's your day going, etc. Okay, good. I need to transfer $100,000 here, da-da-da-da. And then what happens? I love you. Lo yitachein. It's impossible for him to speak to her on the phone without saying, I love you. That's the essence of their relationship. What's the essence of our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam? Dependence. So we can praise God, we can thank God, but it's impossible for us to be in communication with God without saying, please, help. That's the essence of our relationship. So those three components, Chazal start with as the assumption. That's what Birkat HaMazon is. Whether Atova Meitiv is an added part of that, or it's a later addition, whether Zimun is an essential component or an extrinsic component, that's something that we can already discuss differently, and we're going to get into some of that next week.